Good morning, family. As always, it is always a blessing to be able to come here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And hopefully you had a good week. We know, I think Chad and others mentioned that tomorrow or today we're on the eve of our Independence Day. And that's something we should always be proud of and never take for granted. When you think about all the stuff you see on the news, all the things, all the bad things, there's a lot of good things that we are blessed to have, you know. And I start with my own self. You know what? This is the first time I went on vacation, and somebody noticed right away my tan. Chad, Lynette, they were the first ones, and the rest of them jumped in. And I think if I go back to the beach, I'll be as dark as Chris next time. The reason why I say that is it's just skin. There's no sense in it. We're all creatures from Adam and Eve. We live in a world that is constantly trying to pit us against one another, right? Like we can't get along, like we're enemies. We come from Adam and Eve, all of us. You know, I won't go any further than my 33rd cousin, but really that's what we all are. Somebody said, you married your cousin? Well, you did too. Just not a close one. That's all right, but we just be thankful. You know, you think about, and I'm going to be talking about it a little bit this morning, what do we look at and what are we thankful for? You know, don't pay attention to always what you hear on the news, because they have a way of glamorizing, the bad and evil. There's a lot of good things in this world. Matter of fact, being here today, where it really doesn't matter. And I always like to say, you know, heaven is not going to have, it's not going to be a black heaven, a white heaven, an Asian heaven, a Hispanic heaven. It's going to be heaven. We're all going to be that way, and we're all going to look the same. We all need to look the same right now anyway, spiritually. We all should be looking like Jesus anyway. This is just outward appearances to us. So let us be thankful for that. You know, it's not always that way. Let us be thankful that, you know, we're able to meet here without hurt, harm, and danger today. I won't say it's going to be that way always and kind of heading in the other direction, but, you know, yet and still we're still commanded. So be thankful that you have a house to live in and cars to drive. And I know we complain about gas prices and all those things, but most of us, if we cut out a McDonald's Happy Meal or two, we can still get to where we want to. You know, we can complain about it or we can kind of deal with it and try to do our best to change it, but, you know, we shouldn't be full of murmuring and complaining, because that could cause a whole lot of problems. Which ties into my lesson today. You know, as we go into our lesson, the lesson today is entitled Learning to Follow the Lord Fully. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse number 20, and I'm going to read down through verse number 24. Numbers 14, verses 20 through 24. Numbers 14, verses 20 through 24. And it reads as such. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto the fathers, neither shall any of them be provoked that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb fully followed the Lord. As we get into our lesson, think about this. Now, commitment is not a very popular word today. Evidenced by the last statistic I heard, about 60% of marriages end in divorce. We're in the midst of what many folks call the great resignation. You don't like something, you quit. Somebody get mad at you, you quit. All the things that we see in this world, I'm not saying you're not doing it to better yourselves, but we give up too easy. We always look at the negative of life. We always look at the fact of, well, I got to get up and go to work in the morning. What's wrong with being thankful to God that you have the strength and ability to get up and work in the first place? What's wrong with blessing God and thanking God for the fact that you have the strength and the mind to be able to go out and make a way for your family? We complain about too much. Many seem to give up when life gets hard. Many give up on God the same way. But my question this morning is, have you decided to fully follow God? Now, notice I said fully follow, because we can follow him. And I'm going to make that distinction a little bit later on in my lesson. I want you to think about what's going on here. When you go back in through Numbers chapter 13, we see here that Israel, there were 12 spies sent by Moses to spy out the land of Canaan. They spent 40 days surveying the land, but they brought back both good and bad news, as I was saying before. How do you look at your service to God? Is it all bad news? Is it all just a sacrifice? Or do you consider it a blessing? Do you consider it a blessing to be here this morning? Or are you here with a snarl on your face like you could be somewhere else? You know, we complain about too much. You know, really, God didn't have to let us be here today. He chose to by his own grace and mercy. We could have been gone last week. We could have been gone last year, last decade. You know, we need to learn to thank God for the little things in life. So they brought back two reports. One report was, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And the other report was, it was a land occupied by giants and strong people. And honestly, if you really think about it, we fall into these two categories when we look at life. You know, we come into situations, unknowns. It's either we're going to handle this positively, or we begin to look around at all the things that could trip us up, all the things that could defeat us, all the things that could harm us. And what that happens is if we're not careful, we're going to end up the same way the vast majority of the nation of the Israel was. Because that was something different about Caleb, and not just because he was a warrior, not just because he was faithful, but your Bible and mine says in Numbers 14:24, he had another spirit. That's what God seeks to instill in all of his creation today, another spirit, the indwelling measure of the Holy Spirit, his word. Do you have another spirit? Do you understand that the field is truly white with harvest, but the laborers are few? There are neighbors around us without Jesus. There are enemies around us without Jesus. There's a whole world that they need, and the only solution is Christ. Are we really willing to take up that banner? Because that's part of fully following God. Are we really willing to do those things? So here we see it. My question is, if you would have been one of those 12 spies, what would have been your report going back to Moses and the nation? Now, based on your own personality, how you normally see life, you already know what it'd be. Most of us be like, man, them people over there, them some big rascals over there, man. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes, and I'm pretty sure jumping over bounds, we look the same way in their eyes. Yeah. So what happens is when you have a negative attitude, you begin to portray it on everybody else. Not only do you not feel good about yourself, you say the other folks think the same thing about you. And what that happens is, and what that does is it begins to become what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. We begin to believe these things. We begin, in our wonderful class this morning, we begin to plant them in our subconscious mind, and they become our autopilot. And we begin to see the world through these same lenses no matter what. We're not able to see the blessings. What happened to the 10 spies? Yeah, there were giants over there, but that's not what that was all that was over there. That's not all that was over there. And they had forgotten this, that God was on their side. So if God's on our side, why do we worry about giants in the first place? Why do you worry about obstacles in the first place if you understand? And that's the spirit that God had, that Caleb had. So let's look at Caleb. And we're going to talk about what I call the 10 versus 2 principle. I want you to think about this now. Whenever there's an uncertain situation, these numbers just about bear out. And I may not say 10 and 2. I may say 80-20 or 20-80. There's usually, even in a congregation, there's usually about 20% of people who will go at it full bore, 110%. There's about 40 to 50% in the middle, like not knowing. And then there's about 10 to 20% saying we can't do it. It ain't worth it. We ain't got the resources. It's too big. Slow your dreams down. Shrink them down a little bit. That's just the way it is, and there's nothing different about people. Think about that for a moment. Most of the people listen not to the two, but to the ten. Think about that now. A whole nation listened to the ten. Why did they listen to the ten? Because they already had already angered God. Now understand, he says these 10 times, these folks ever not listened to me and disobeyed me. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't their first rodeo. God was just fed up at this point. He was trying to give them a better life, and they refused to believe and follow him fully. When we refuse to believe and follow him fully, the same thing happens to us. My question is, are you following fully? I'm going to give us some strategies in a little while. Most of the people listen to the 10. Israel believed the 10 spies, and it cost them 40 years in the wilderness and death, and it will cause us the same thing today. When we refuse to believe God is with us, we refuse to stand on the promises of God, we're going to die in the wilderness of life. And then after that, we're going to lose our souls. And we're going to talk about the fact that you can't just show up at heaven's gate and expect to get in there. I'm going to prove that to you in Numbers chapter 14 a little bit later on. Because that's what some folks believe. I'm not going to listen to you now, Lord, but you know what? In judgment, I'm here. I gave my life to Christ at an early age. Y'all know my favorite statement. I was there once, twice, maybe three times in the last decade, so I'm good. What about us today? Caleb fully followed the Lord. Numbers 14 and 24, Caleb was spared because he fully followed God fully. He wholly followed the God of Israel. Similar statements are made about Caleb in Numbers 32, 11 and 12, Deuteronomy 1, 36, and Joshua 14, 8 through 14. How does one fully follow God, you may ask? And then the question is, are you willing to take God's prescription for fully following him? So how does one fully follow God? Because Caleb did it, and he gave us a great example for it. Point number one, it means to follow Jesus all the days of your life. Caleb followed the Lord into the wilderness. He also followed the Lord in the land of Canaan 45 years later. He was still following God. When all those folks and all his relatives and all those folks he grew up with and went to school with and hung out with died in the wilderness, he was still following God. What about us? When all those folks that you put before God are going on, are you still going to follow them? When all those things you put before God are no longer in your life, are you still willing to follow them? When all those situations and circumstances that you use as excuses for not following God are gone, can you still be considered following him today? That's what he did. Sadly, many do not follow Jesus today. Many turn their back on Christ like Lot's wife did. What I mean by that is, she was rescued from a place, but her mind never left Sodom. So your mind's got to leave God too before you, where's your body? What I mean by that, a very, very vivid example of that is, many folks have been baptized, but they're looking back at Sodom. Not so much, not only looking back at it, they're back in Sodom. That was an act they did, but they didn't continue to walk with them. So we got to continue to walk. What happened to her? She was told not to look back. And when she looked back, not believing God, and some people say, you know what? I read in Scripture that she probably had more kids back over that. Don't look back. Well, she probably had some relatives over there because Lot wasn't the only one. He established a family over there. Matter of fact, he and all his kin folks on his side, they decided to pitch their tents towards Sodom in the first place. They had some neighbors over there. Don't look back. They had a business over there. Don't look back. They had some hobbies over there. Don't look back. Because when you look back, it could cost you. Israel had disobeyed God one last and final time. So we see here, that's what happened. And also, as I said before, many are easily bewitched, like the Galatians in Galatians 3:1. That's what Paul asked. Who bewitched you? Who worked a spell on you to believe that you're okay without Christ? Who bewitched you to believe you could really fully live God without fully following him? You could really experience life the way God wants us to and not follow him the way you want. Who bewitched you? And there ain't but one culprit, and that's Satan. Satan will tell you you're all right without God in the church. Satan will tell you you don't need that stuff. Satan will tell you that's man's book. Satan will tell you all kind of lies to get you to the point to get you back out in the wilderness because he's trying to kill you in the first place. That's his whole mission. Don't listen to that. So we see that. What it means to follow God, we should follow God from our youth. And that's why it's so important to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we don't instill it in them, we don't put it in the autopilot where God is important. If they don't sit in our lives, how in the world are they going to do it for them and their family? How in the world are they going to do it for your grandkids and great-grandkids? You got to instill it earlier while they're in your control. We should also follow him in an old age. Now, some of us have put the brakes on and we think we retired on Easy Street. You are still valuable and you can still add something to God's kingdom. Can you do what you used to do? No. But I don't see Caleb use that as an excuse because he took a mountain full of giants at 75 years old. What mountain are you trying to take today? Have you decided to put the brakes on and just cruise on into heaven? There's still mountains to be conquered today, no matter what your age is, no matter where you are in life. Don't buy that mess. Well, I've done enough. I ain't doing no more. There's still work to be done. You can't do what you used to do, but you can surely do something. Something. So we got to get out of that mindset. There is no retirement, but the only retirement plan is when you get your crown in heaven. We're going to have to work all the days of our life. Well, I can't visit like you used to. You can call. You can pray. You can do something to encourage somebody along the way. It's not an excuse because you can't physically do what you used to before. You're not able to do those things. You can still do something. We'll get that a little bit later on if I have a chance. If not, it'll be my next lesson. Should we follow Christ like Caleb? The answer is yes. Christ should lead us every day of our lives. And I like to say that. Does he lead us? Let me ask you this question. Does he lead you Monday through Saturday? It's easy for him to lead us on Sunday. But see, Jesus, I want you to stay right here. And Jesus, I'll come back to you next Sunday. You know, I'll meet you at the door, but don't go home with me. Don't listen to what I listen to. Don't watch what I watch. We do stuff and play games like that. We need to stop that because it's going to cost you the same thing it cost the nation of Israel if we're not careful. Is he at work with us? With friends? At home? Are we having fun? Is Christ with us? Or we tell him he got to stay in the car? Sit in the back seat. Let the window down so you won't pass out. That's what we do to Christ sometime, ain't it? That's a whole other lesson. I'll get to it later. Point number two. We should follow Jesus with all our heart. Holy indicates with all of Caleb's heart. He followed him fully and wholly. Fully means he was walking right behind him at God's command, but wholly means he did it with all of his heart. Matter of fact, Christ commands this of us in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 38, when he says, we're to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. That's no exception. He'll accept anything. He won't accept anything less. Sadly, many attempt to serve him with divided hearts. One example of that is Solomon decided to serve God, but then he got sidetracked by all them foreign wives he had. Yeah. Many of us have the same problem as 1 Kings 11, 4. And it may not be little women, but it'd be all our other habits, all those other things we put on our plate, all those other things that we say take priority over serving God. Understand this. That is your idol. That's your idol. I won't tell you anything else, and I love you too much not to tell you the truth. Anything you put before God is your idol. Now, you can call it what you want to. You can dress it up nice. But anything you put before God is your idol. And he says in Scripture and in inference in the New Testament, you have no idols before him. That's point number two. We cannot fully and wholly follow God and be friends of the world. James 4 and 4. And that's part of our problem. We want to be friends of the world and then wholly follow God. What about us today? We must follow him with all of our heart, according to John 14 and 15. Are you trying to follow him with divided affections? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. Are you truly trying to follow God with divided affections? That's your personal question. How many excuses do you come up with not to fully follow him? Well, see, that's the reason. Also, how many excuses do you come up for not fully following? Because that's all they are. And an excuse is, when you boil it down and strip it down to the bone, it's just a well-dressed lie. How many excuses do you use? Well, I got this going. I got that. How many excuses do you use for not fully following? Until we get honest with ourselves, we're going to be in the same boat they were. Point number three, time is flying. We must follow Jesus in spite of dangers and problems. Caleb did so while facing giants. He didn't ask God to remove them. He looked past those giants and understood that his God was bigger than the giants in the first place. He didn't wait for things to get better. He didn't wait for all the problems to disappear in his life. He didn't wait, as some folks say, to get themselves right, and then they're coming back to the church. What sense that make? You put yourself in a situation, you think you're going to get yourself out? That's just as foolish as me walking out the door and expecting it, not the sunshine, not to hit me. Why do we do things like that? Caleb did so. He was willing to face the wrath of his family as well. Numbers 14 and 10, they jumped all over him. When you go back and read the Numbers, man, they wanted to kill him and Joshua. They were going to take them out because, you know what, you don't go against family. And that was his family, although extended, although, you know, it was still the family of the nation of Israel, Jacob's children. He was willing to take a mountain full of giants in his old age. What about you today, as I said before? Joshua 14, 10 through 12. Many only serve God when it's convenient. Many only follow him when it's popular. Many only follow him when it's safe. Example is when Peter was confronted by the maiden in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 70. Will you follow him when you're being talked about? Will you follow him when you're being persecuted? We must be willing to follow him wherever he leads us. Though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us. There's no need to fear at any time in our life. If you are fearing, you are not fully following. If there is fear in your life that produces anxiety in your life, understand this. You are not fully following God. We don't see in here what Caleb was anxious at all. He knew the size. He wasn't trying to look up. He knew them giants were about Goliath size, at least 9 to 10 feet tall. He knew how strong they were, but he knew his God was stronger. And that God had already promised them the victory. And that's the way we need to look at this life. That's the way we need to look at it. So that's what happens. Point number four is this. We must follow Jesus by keeping our eyes on him. Caleb's faith, understand this, why he had a different spirit. Caleb's faith was always in the Lord and not in himself. Where's your faith at today? Well, this job I got, it's going to keep. The way it works is this. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. You mess around and die if you want to. By the time they put you in the grave, somebody always going to have your job be done applied for it. If you think you're indispensable, don't believe that lie. That's folks already waiting for your job. They ain't exposed themselves yet. Or maybe they have where you work at. But don't believe this world going to stop spinning when you leave here. Somebody going to have that mate that you're going to leave behind maybe if they decide to move on. Children going to be able to move on. This world can't survive without you and I. It's been doing it since he started it spinning. Now, that's bad to say, but that's the nature of life. As surely as we're sitting here this morning, we're going to die. And the world's going to go on. Now, it's hard sometimes. I'm not trying to minimize it. But understand this. When we leave here, the world's going to keep going on. What are you putting before God today? Keep your eyes on it. He was confident that Israel and God could take the land. Caleb knew that God was with them. Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9, he promises this. Before he went into the land, he promised them this. He says, I just want you to go and see for your own doing. I know what's over there. I know what I got for you. I want you to see it. I want you to understand that I'm a good God. That's what God's asking us to do today. I got something for you following me. I already know what's out there. You got to be willing to trust me to do it. I already know. Will there be problems? Sure, but you got to look past those problems. You got to look past those issues so that you can fully follow him. This is what he's asking us to do today. Caleb focused on the power of God to win the victory. Point number five, we must follow God by having a different spirit. Caleb was noted for this in Numbers 14 and 24. He had a different attitude, and it starts with our attitude than the other 10 spies. What was the difference between them? They all grew up together. They all were sent on the spell, because evidently they were faithful because Moses chose these 12 out. So what was the difference? The attitude. We can be strengthened tremendously by just changing our attitude about stuff. Instead of saying you can't, why not say you can? With God's help. That's what Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, right? When he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing that you and God can't handle. There's no problem too big for you and God to handle. There's no circumstance that you can't get out of with God's help. There's no such situation that you can't endure with God's help. There is nothing that you and God can't take care of. That's how Caleb had a different spirit. He didn't depend on himself. He knew he was probably weak. He knew when he looked at him compared to them giants that he was nothing in their sight. But God was bigger than whatever he saw. He had a different attitude. How is your attitude today? Think about it in your own life. Do you have a defeatist attitude? Do you have a woe is me attitude? Do you have life is just not fair attitude? We talked about it in the morning. Prime example of that is Cain. You know, we're doing a character study on Cain and Abel. Kind of ties to a lesson. You know, we know that Cain got pretty upset. But it was Cain's problem in the first place. He should have accepted responsibility because it said he offered, in the process of time, which lets us know that wasn't the first time he offered God an unblemished sacrifice. He offered it to him, and then he just happened to see that God accepted Abel's offer, and he went ballistic then. Woe is me. Then, like I said, he do like we do. Well, you know what? It wasn't my fault. It was Adam and Eve, God. Why in the world y'all eat the fruit in the first place? Why you got to put them out, God? Why? I'm the oldest. Why I got to till the field? Now, look at this rascal over here. He's tending the sheep. He laying up on the shade half the day. Why is me? Whoa. But God said in verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 4, if you don't do well, if you don't do what I ask you, will I not accept you the same way? So we need to start looking at ourselves when our lives are not where they should be. Right. Stop blaming other folks and change it yourself. Right. Stop expecting everybody to do everything for you and decide to do it yourself with God's help. Amen. That's all it takes, is a different mindset. You and God can do it. So it talks about it here. He had a different spirit. The Spirit of God is also there to help us. Romans 8, 12 through 13, Ephesians 3, 16. We can develop an can-do attitude with the Spirit's help. And then we get that from Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. For time's sake, you can read it on your own. So let's look at some of the benefits of following God fully. And I bring this lesson to full landing. It leads to a useful life. Just because Caleb decided to fully follow God, look at how God used him. He used him as a leader of Israel. Numbers 13, verses 2 through 6. He used him as a servant of God to not only spy it out, but to divide it when they went into it. Numbers 14 and 24. He also used Caleb to be an example for us today of what true faith and courage looks like. He's still using him today, and all Caleb did was decide to fully follow God. So it leads to a useful life. What else does it mean? What are the benefits of fully following God? It leads to a fulfilled life. Only Caleb and Joshua from that generation were allowed to enter the land of Canaan. Let's go back into Numbers chapter 4. Because, man, God gets very specific here. He wants them to know that ain't going to be pretty because they decided not to listen to him. Look at what he says in verse number 26 of Numbers chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Don't you think that God hears you when you murmur against him? Don't you think he hears you when you complain about serving him, about giving your time and resources? Don't you think that he getting tired of your excuses too? Don't you think he is? He hears it. Say unto them, as I truly live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole numbers, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said will be prey in the first place, them which I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children, let us know how we affect those around us, shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. God wasn't playing, and he ain't playing with us today. We got two options. We either fully follow him or our carcass dies in the wasteland. Those are the only two choices we get. How do we know it? As time and scripture proves time and time again that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You're not going to stumble into heaven. No. You're also not going to get there half-heartedly either. These folks were half-hearted. They were, but they had not fully decided to follow God. Two people in that generation. Now understand this now. When they numbered them, at 600,000 men, not including women and children. That's not a good number, percentage. Don't worry about percentages. Because God, the majority, has always been wrong. What about us today? We live a full life. He also received land around Hebron as an inheritance in Joshua 6:14. But think about this now. Because of two people, Joshua and Caleb, fully following God, the land rested entirely from war in Joshua 14 and 15. When you decide to fully follow God, you'll never know who you're going to affect. You never know who you're going to inspire. You never know who's looking at you and trying to figure out what it means to fully follow God. You will never understand it. Matter of fact, you're going to be long gone. That's the way it normally works. And maybe somebody will be talking about how faithful you were and what you did for Jesus. Not putting you on a pedestal, not making you and turning you into sainthood, which is, we're all saints. I don't believe that mess with Catholicism. I'm not talking about that type. But understand this. Wouldn't it be nice for generations when you're not here to talk about how faithful you were as great-granddaddy or granddaddy or whoever? Wouldn't it be great? That's what they did with Joshua and Caleb. He was an inspiration to them. Bringing this lesson in for a landing, last few slides. What kind of fulfilled life does Jesus offer us today? He offers us a love that's a passive knowledge. Ephesians 3:19. He offers us one that gives peace that's a passive understanding. Philippians 4:7. And then he offers us this, one in which your daily needs are provided for if you seek him first, the kingdom and his righteousness. He's promised those things. But you got to decide to follow him fully. That's what it means. That's the parallel scripture in the New Testament, one of them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All Israel had to do was continue to seek God first. Now you may say, well, I understand that, Brother Parker, but I'm going to get in some other way. Stick with me in Numbers chapter 14. Let's pick up at verse number 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Oh, I'm so sorry now. What? You had your chance. And notice the audacity of these people. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up onto the top of the mount, saying, lo, we'll be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord had promised, but we have sinned. They just were told they were going to die in the way. What they doing? Do you think God was going to lay that aside and say, okay, y'all here? Do you think when we get the judgment that he's going to accept at that only time, God, yeah, you're the only Lord and Savior? Do we actually believe that with our feeble minds? Do we actually believe that? Do you believe you can live in this world how you want to, and somehow when you get to judgment that God's going to let you in? That's what they thought. This is that person of the promise. Like, God, you know what? I should have listened to you, but I'm here now. It ain't going to cut it. And Moses said, wherefore, now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord. But it should not prosper. It ain't going to do you no good. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. And ye shall fall by the sword because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. When you turn your back on God, he turns his back on you. I didn't say it. Now, if y'all want to shoot me for reading it, I take a bullet for that, but I ain't going to change it because that's the way it was given to us. How many folks are living their life by that? They've turned their back on God, and somehow they think they're in good graces with it. How that's going to happen? I'm telling you and pleading with you if that's your mindset today. Now, you would think at this point in time, God done told me he wasn't with them. Moses done told me he wasn't with them. Let's see what they did. Verse 44, but they presume, I'm just going to do it because I want to go up unto the top of the hill. Notice it says, nevertheless. They didn't even know that the Ark of the Covenant and Moses had left them. Moses was like, I ain't putting up with this. You can go die on your own. I'm going to listen to God. Sometimes you got to leave some folks behind and decide to follow him fully. That's what it's saying. They decided to, you know what, God, I know what you're saying, but if we show up at the gates of Canaan, surely you'll let us in. That ain't what they said, but I like this part. So God ain't with you, his presence not with you, and your leader's not with you. Because he ain't going for that foolishness. Just in case you thought it was going to end a different way, look at what it said in verse 45. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites, which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. You think God's playing? He's not. Why don't you make a decision today to fully follow God? It starts with us obeying the gospel. Many of us know what scripture says. Why are we still waiting? It's not going to change for you and I. But the way time is, time's going to run out eventually. You know you're outside the graces of God. You know that baptism is needed for the remission of your sins. Please help me understand this. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? If you know that you have not living the life, been living the type of life that God wants you to live and follow him fully, what are you waiting on now to repent and get it right? Because sooner or later, just like he did those 10 times, time's going to run out. It's going to run out. I don't want my worst enemy to be in that situation. That's why we need to be willing to carry the gospel every day of our lives to the world, either by leading an example or telling what thus saith the Lord. That's our mission. Wherever we go, that's our mission. If that's not your mission wherever you go, then maybe you need to rethink what you're doing. We're not put here just to be CEOs. We're not put here to be millionaires only. We're not put here just to make it to the top of our profession. We're not put here just to enjoy God's green. We're not put here for that per se only. Is that a part of it? Yes. But never make a mistake that our number one mission, individual and the Lord's church, is to seek and to save the lost. Who have you saw lately? Who have you decided to teach a Bible study to? Who have you told them Jesus loves you? Who have you said, come to church with me today, lately? As a mission family, we do that by hearing the gospel, believing what we have heard, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That's where it starts. That's the starting point. That's not the ending point. That's the starting point. And then you begin to truly learn how to fully follow him. You grow and mature. Your stamina gets better. Just like a child. You know, there's no way in the world you ask a toddler, somebody like Blake, to run a marathon. That'd be foolish. Now, to him, a marathon may be the hit of that door, but that's not what the marathon says. Not the marathon says. So we know we got to build up our stamina. We got to keep going. But the only way he's going to learn to do it is to grow up into an adult, mature, prepare himself. It doesn't happen overnight. So maybe you're at that stage. Keep going and keep growing. That's all you got to do. It's only you'll be able to be there. But it's not an option. We got to have the mindset of Joshua and Caleb. If not, you might have some gate trouble. You might have some gate trouble. The end of our faith is salvation. Not the beginning. It's promised to us, but the end of our faith is salvation. That's why there is no such thing as once saved, always saved.
That's right.
You can lose your reward when you go back out in the world.
That's right.
You can put it in jeopardy.
Amen.
That's not what the world tells you, but you can. We see it. One prime example of that on the angels of heaven. They were in heaven. Right on the throne. What happened to them? A third of them at least. You don't think if they got kicked out of heaven, you can lose your reward? Something wrong. You got to continue it. It's promised to you. But you got to go conquer it. Now, when you go into Numbers in the book of Joshua, they still had some work to do to get it. They had some folks to take care of, so it worked. But it was already promised. Joshua didn't worry about it. He's worried in the beginning. But God had already given them, you know, the victory. But they still had to kill them folks there and get them out of there. And you still running into problems with Saul when they didn't listen to God fully. So we got to kill some things in our life, too, as well, to follow him fully. So we have one desire to put on Christ in baptism, request special prayer. We ask you to please stand and sing a verse of.